This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, the transport industry is beset by corruption and violence and burning trains and fragmentation. As far as buses go, many of them still operate on very outdated apartheid-style routes and subsidies and are characterized by an unroadworthy, unreliable fleet. The taxi industry, a very vital source of transport for many thousands, hundreds of thousands of commuters, millions in fact, is tainted as well, obviously from the driving behavior to the unroadworthy vehicles that we see on a daily basis. We've got the ongoing Uber versus the metered taxi services battle, or the broader e-hailers versus the metered taxi services. And it's against this backdrop that the Competition Commission released its provisional report into the public passenger transport market, which is an inquiry that started its work back in late 2017, early 2018. I'm joined now by Competition Commissioner Thembinkosi Bonakele, and I've also got very well-known competition law experts from Bowman's, Heather Irvin, on the line as well. Commissioner, welcome and thanks for joining us. The market inquiry was really triggered several years ago, in part by some complaints that were received by the Commission. Sketch the background and the scope of this inquiry before we go into some of those provisional findings.
The inquiry, as you rightly point out, was triggered by complaints, mainly taxi operators who were complaining that they don't receive subsidies, and therefore the playing field was not level, because you know buses and other modes were receiving subsidies, and often they would have to compete for the same routes with these other modes. There were also concerns from metered taxi operators that the regulation of e-hailing services was favoring the new entrants at the time, which was the e-hailing companies. So that's really what triggered it. But You are right. Then there were many other things that became relevant, because for competition to take place, you've got to be able to have entry, and people don't have to pay with their lives in order to enter market. So the issues of violence also became quite looming in the entire inquiry.
Now, on that issue of subsidies, and for many years now, the taxi industry has been arguing that for it to formalize, it needs some form of subsidy. It does move the bulk of the South African commuter population, more than 15 million commuter trips per day, with no reliance on government subsidies. You contrast that with bus and rail, it's moving a combined 11 million commuters in terms of commuter trips per day, and they get quite huge subsidies from government. What informed the current subsidy regime, and what have you recommended through this provisional report?
The current subsidy regime is not informed by anything. It's largely a historical legacy, right? So even when you talk to the Department of Transport, they really can't explain, which is why we've called for a new subsidy policy that addresses these inequities that you're pointing out. So just to give you an example, I mean, one of the difficulties, big difficulties of taxi operators is to get finance for taxis. Some of the finance, development finance that's available, because most of the banks refuse to finance many operators. The loans are in the order of the interest on loans is in the order of 28%. Just about under half of those loans, they are defaults, which means taxes get taken away. So you clearly can see that there is a need. The taxi industry, although we see them ferrying people every day, is in fact not competitive and not sustainable. You see a lot of entry, but there is also a lot of a high number of people who exit. It's not a sustainable sector. So however you design your subsidies, you're going to have to address the problem of taxis that transport more than 66% of the entire commuting public.
How do we do that, though? And Heather, I'd like to bring you in here, because from my reading of this report, it looks like the Commission is suggesting we go back to the taxi recapitalization program, which let's face it, hasn't been a massive success.
Yeah, you're right, Michael. So, you know, I think once again, the Commission has done a very extensive and thorough investigation, and both of the market dynamics, but also of the regulation of the market. And one of the big issues that really comes out clearly in this draft report is that there is a total lack of coordination and planning on the part of government, and significant splitting of responsibilities between provincial, national, and local government in a way that actually ends up with no one taking responsibility. And I think taxi subsidies are just one part of that problem. Another problem is inadequate control over key facilities like the one that PRASA has at Park Station. And, the Commission has something to say about that. There is a lack of efficient licensing process at all levels. And so, you know, the Commission very usefully points a spotlight on a serious lack of central planning, a lack of regulation, and very ineffective enforcement of regulation where they do exist.
Commissioner, with that, you put your finger, I think, on the nub and the pulse of the issue here. What is your recommendation to increase planning, to get the various layers of government from central to provincial to local to think in a more coordinated manner and out of their silos? How are you recommending we achieve a more integrated transport network and sector in the country?
Well, I think that, as Heather says, I mean, it's to clarify the role of the different spheres of government. It's very clear that national government is best placed to do norms and standards. But a lot of transport planning has to take place at lower levels, sometimes at local level, but some municipalities would not have the capacity. We've also found that. So it makes sense in some instances that this takes place at a provincial level. So we're calling for the establishment of provincial transport authorities that would be able to plan transport, that will be able to license operators. But also we're saying even the subsidies, because the target of those subsidies has to be in line with the plans, that those subsidies, they are better allocated by these planning authorities that are either at a local or provincial level.
And we've seen, Commissioner, for some time in the city of Cape Town, for example, it wanted to take over the passenger rail network, which hasn't been a local government competency. It's been in discussions with the National Department of Transport. Effectively, this is what you're suggesting should happen in this report.
Precisely. And I mean, a classic example of how this doesn't make sense is in Gauteng, where you have a Gautrain that's operating in competition with a metro rail taxis, train. They are literally in the same route between Johannesburg and Pretoria, but there is complete lack of coordination and integration between the two. In fact, in some of the stations, you find a wall between the sort of disembarkment areas of these two trains. So it makes sense that Gautrain and the Metro Rail be integrated under one operator within Gauteng. And the Western Cape can do the same for itself. We think KZN can do the same. Then other provinces would need over time to develop capacity to undertake this.
And then you've split the report looking at your so-called traditional public transport services, taxis, trains, buses. And then in the second part of the report, you look at the new models that are really defined by e-hailing services like Uber and Lyft. When it comes to how they're regulated, there's been an ongoing, very often violent battle between the traditional metered taxis and those e-hailing services. What did you find when it comes to those e-hailing business models, and whether or not they actually impede or restrict or enhance competition?
What we found is that it's a real e-hailing was a real disruption to a traditional meter taxi market, and it's not uniquely South African. This was a disruptor almost everywhere where you've had entry of e-hailing services, and authorities have reacted differently. But by and large, authorities, including the South African authorities, were very slow to update the laws and the rules. So what you have as a classic example is that whilst an e-hailing company is able to pick up passengers anywhere and therefore is able to fill capacity all the time, meter taxis are not allowed to pick up passengers, often outside their ranks. So what you then have is this inefficiency that doesn't enable meter taxi operators to compete effectively against e-hailing companies. So what we're saying is that you've got to update the rule, get rid of some of the really archaic requirements for the meter taxi operators, but also get them better organized so that they can start thinking and investing in innovation and catching up with e-hailing service providers.
And one of the examples is that you've recommended that Section 66.3 of the NLTA, which grants the MEC or the Minister the power to determine a fare structure, actually be removed because it is archaic. Heather, overall, what do you make of the recommendations on the e-hailing side?
Yeah, I think they're very sensible, Michael. But I think the problem is really there is a deeply embedded mindset in the metered taxi ranks which favours geographic market allocation. People think of themselves as having territories which only they can service, and they become upset and in some cases aggressive if they see competition within those territories. So, yes, you have to sort that out at a regulatory level by removing those restrictions within licenses. But fundamentally, you have to tackle the mindset and you have to help people to see that competition is beneficial for consumers and that everybody has to tolerate being competed with and can't react violently to that. And, you know, that's a challenge which I think goes well beyond what the Competition Commission is equipped to address.
But it was encouraging. And, Commissioner, I'm going to have you back on the show because this is a last comment before we run out of time, to at least see that you've recommended SAP set up a special division to deal specifically with transport-related issues because it does need a dedicated service. We've seen just far too much violence meted out, no pun intended, against some of those e-hailing services. Temin Nkosi Bonakele, Commissioner of the Competition Commission of South Africa, and Heather Irvine, partner in the competition practice at Bowman's.